Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who thinks Wall Street could learn a thing or two about how business is done on Main Street.
Well, if the good Lord don't like the way I conduct business, let him say something. Let him give me a sign.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about having our good friend Steve DelBianco back on the show. 18-year member of our Brain Trust, Executive Director of NetChoice. NetChoice.org is the website, and he is one of the people that we count on. He's a global leader in the area of online public policy. He's traveled the world putting his best foot forward and our best foot forward to make sure that the Internet remains as free and unencumbered and unregulated, I think, as much as possible as he can. And that's one of the things we admire about him. Steve, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Gosh, has it really been 18 years?
It has been.
Time flies when you're having fun.
That's exactly right. Okay, Steve, so there's some news going on you've got right now on the Supreme Court. Tell us about it.
Yeah, April 17th, just a couple of weeks away, the Supreme Court will hear a case that NetChoice helped to instigate. It's a decision by the state of South Dakota to enact a new law where they could reach beyond their borders and tax any business anywhere in the country who was selling things online to the residents of South Dakota. So this is the notion of sales tax and the ability of a state to reach beyond its borders and force a business to collect its tax. Now, for many years, about 70 years, the law has said that you could only tax businesses that had a physical presence in your state. South Dakota really wanted to test that and force the Supreme Court to reexamine that question in light of the fact that computing technology has made it easier for companies to figure it out.
Right.
But at the same time, the states have doubled the number of jurisdictions. There's 16,000 jurisdictions around the United States.
When you and I started talking about this 15 years ago at least, one of the points that we said in those days that sort of made you, at least made me, feel like this wasn't something to worry about right now was, and if you remember, I think I said one of these days somebody's going to come up with a technology that where you'll be able to push a button and it'll go to the right jurisdiction. But also in those days there was only about 7,000 jurisdictions.
But Jim, you know what? Let's just assume that I can type in your address and it will tell me the tax rate in your jurisdiction.
Yeah.
And I can find a way to get into the system that I have to receive orders over the phone, in the mail, on my website, or at my store. Let's assume the software is free that can look up the right tax rate in
right.
a given jurisdiction. That doesn't make it free for me to bolt that in
That's
and
right.
modify my ordering, fulfillment, and accounting system.
And remit the money. And remit the money.
And remit the money to
$1.76 that cost me $15 to send you.
And it does in many states. If you use the automated clearinghouse or electronic funds transfer, they charge you a fee,
right.
even if the fee is higher than the amount you're sending the state.
Yep.
But none of that compares to the cost when a state decides to audit or demand that this small business had somehow miscategorized those scarves and
right.
clothing accessories into the wrong tax category for the state of New Jersey,
is it reasonable to think that New Jersey would go to South Dakota or to New Mexico to some little shop and that was selling, you know, $10,000 a year to different states and do an audit? That they go where the money is, right, where the big guys are.
Yeah, and it's so easy to because what the states have developed is a central registration system so that if a seller registers in New Mexico, all the states will know about it. I spent
mm-hmm.
the weekend at a sales tax conference where they claimed the biggest asset of central registration is that every state will know any seller
wow.
anywhere in the country
wow.
and can begin to issue demand letters. The first
wow.
thing they do before an audit, Jim, is to send a demand letter insisting that you start to remit taxes And if you don't, they follow up with.
So you're saying with the new automation of being able to pay and remit the money comes the automation to inspect and to check.
Exactly. And the cost of figuring out how to map your inventory. And some of the small sellers have thousands of items of inventory.
Wow.
You have to be able to map that inventory to all 46 states.
What do you think the Supreme Court's going to say?
Jim, I'm worried. Color me concerned, because four justices decided in January that it was time to revisit this question. So four of them thought it was time to revisit.
Were the four the usual suspects? Was either one of them Kennedy?
They don't announce the name.
We don't know.
We already know that Kennedy. But Kennedy was the one who 3 years ago invited a case to reexamine the Quill standard.
So it's a nail biter till when? We'll know in the summer.
Jim, April 17th is the hearing. I'll be in court. I'll report to you on your show how it went, and we should know by June.
By June, yeah. And I'm sure you're doing an amicus brief on the other side of this issue. Steve Del Bianco, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be right back. We're going to talk about Facebook. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.